What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I'm your host, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back for episode 112. Yes, 112, like the group.
Okay. And
in that of itself is pretty great because we've been gone for a little bit, little minute. Had to take a hiatus. Yes, because life be lifing and all that good stuff. But we are back.
Yeah, we're back.
I want to shout out Tess's wall scroll. I haven't seen raw scrolls in a while. I still have some, actually. I just haven't put them up. I need to like do things with my office, or just get a new office.
I still don't have an office. What I love about this is how fake this is, because it's like, oh, it's a real background. It's not like computerized. But I love how this is going to come down.
Yeah.
Is blocking my closet. This is blocking my door.
That's all right. Once we get the big bucks, we'll have a place to hang all of our stuff. You
know, not just the other side of your bed.
Right? For fall breaking. I'm excited to be back and to talk to you about a bunch of stuff. Because life has been crazy. I remember talking to you about I went to a screening in DC. Uh-huh. And I was telling you about how while the traffic there was and how people drive and everything. But that wasn't what took the cake. What took the cake was, and this is for all the people who are like, I don't understand why people don't go to the theater nowadays. They do. People still do. I mean, Pixar, what is it? Pixar's film Inside Out 2 is the highest grossing animated film ever now. Whoa. So people still go to the movies. But there are reasons, and some of them don't have to do with money. I went to a screener to see Oddity, which was a good film. Mm-hmm. And towards the end of the film, some people crashed the party. And what I mean crashed, I mean they walked into a private screening and just was loud, obnoxious. Their phones were on, the lights were on. They took some seats that wasn't theirs, start messing with food that wasn't, like, the food was already done. Like, someone had already eaten, and like, just like, you know how like you sit with like, there's a table in front of you, and because it's private, not all the seats were filled. And so people would take the tray and kind of like move it over, you know, so they can see or like relax or whatever the case may be. So they're sitting behind tables that have like food or whatever. And they're like picking through and I'm like, what is happening? And I'm thinking like, because you got, mind you, we're sitting in a room that has like props and stuff. So I'm thinking, oh, maybe this is part of the whatever, like the event, like, you know, there's things from the movie that are placed around. We had a host that came up with a mic that talked. So I'm like, oh, maybe this is, you know what I mean? This is part of whatever. And very quickly I found out that was not the case. And yeah, just horrible people. They were kicked out eventually.
Good.
And we got to finish. It almost ruined the end of the film. It was terrible timing, because this is like, they're going to reveal something and like people are coming in and talking or whatever. And one of the group guest members was like, yo, can you please leave right at the end of the show? And they started cursing and all this other stuff. And yeah, bananas. That is one reason why. And I know that's like, that doesn't happen all the time, but that has been happening to me more often. Like people just talking and just doing rude, obnoxious things while in a movie theater.
What?
I understand people wanting to stay home. Like I really, really, really do. But that's just like a little tidbit of what's been going on. There's been a bunch from, you know, covering different films and writing about different things and stuff like that since we've been gone. And, you know, just wanted to share a little bit of crazy. If you follow me on Twitter, you know, because I was complaining that day. I was like, the nerve of these people.
Wrong with
like,
people.
I was so angry.
What's wrong with people? What are they doing?
I was so angry. But I did get to see like a lot of cool stuff. I watched, and this is actually coming up on our first topic. Mm-hmm. I got to see, I say got to see, like I saw it, like it's hard to see, but I saw the new Beverly Hills Cop film on Netflix. And that brings me to before I talk about that film, I want to talk about legacy sequels and how we feel about them.
Yeah.
And I know, Tess, you were talking about not being excited about anything. So I really want to hear your thoughts on the idea of a legacy sequel. For people who don't know, these are sequels to films, and in some cases shows, that have been more or less defunct. Like they just don't do anything with them anymore, the studios. So like, for instance, we're getting a Beetlejuice sequel after I don't know however many years. We got Beverly Hills Cop 4. We got two new Bad Boys films. You know what I mean? Like, we're getting more and more stuff for films that we thought were done, or series or franchises that we thought were done.
Yeah.
And so this is a big thing that's been happening. And granted, this, it kind of happened before in films before. This is not a new thing, yeah. Whether it's like a reboot of an old film or a remake or and stuff like that. But it's becoming more prevalent. Like, it's like almost every other week there's an announcement for a new sequel for something that you thought was dead. Right. So I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about them as a whole? Because right now I'm on the fence.
Is there a fence for me to be on? Do I have to climb the fence? Do I have to expend energy to get to said fence? I can't. I ain't gonna have it. I also just want to shout out to my shirt, which is clearly Jon Snow.
Nice.
It says crows before hoes, which is extremely inappropriate, but I love it.
That's anyway, hilarious, though.
Is it not?
That is great.
I forgot where I got this. I know somebody gave it to me. It's one of my family members, I'm sure. I don't know how I feel. I'm exhausted. I'm so tired. Life is very hard. And so because life takes joy out of everything, which is weird because life's supposed to be joyous.
At times, there are times when it's not so much, you know.
Yeah, life is hard.
There's a lot of adjectives that we use to describe life. Joy, you know what I mean? That's like the fifth one. That's not the first one.
Right?
It's not the first one.
So, I don't know what kind of I am not super, super excited for like old stuff to be brought back. One thing is that there's a great thing about like old stuff being old. And then the nostalgia, because you get to go back, you get to watch it and be like, oh, I remember I was like 7 when I watched this. And then there's like feelings and blah. And then you get to go back and you get to see the old filming, like the film techniques and the acting. And it was like, oh, were we good actors back then? Like, I mean, just it's all time kinds stamps. Of stuff, you know? Yes, I know. Exactly. Hermione has her own opinions too, even though she's only been around for 12 years. Like, she has so many opinions, but I'm a little like, I don't know, I feel sometimes, but some things I feel like I could get excited about. And what I was saying earlier, it's something that's like obscure and old and or just something that you never would have thought would ever be adapted, and I get really excited. I'm like, oh my god. And then I get unexcited because I'm like, oh no, they're gonna ruin it. And I'm just I don't know how to feel, and I don't want to upset myself, because I also remember being, was I 18 or whatever when X-Men decided that they wanted to make movies, and then I was like, and I get it, this is not necessarily 100% the same thing, we're talking about legacy stuff that's dead and then bringing it back, but I just remember being like super excited and yeah, and then oh. So yeah, I can't say I'm excited about Devil Wears Prada. I want to be, because I love that movie, it was great. I am so scared because I'm like, what are we doing? Because the book was terrible. So I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening. I'm like, what? I thought we settled everything in the movie.
Right.
The movie, literally, all the characters had arcs. Everything was set, like, literally. The reason why the movie was so good was because I feel like each of the characters that was very important had arcs, they had growth, they had conflict, and then those conflicts were solved at the end. And honestly, the rest is to your imagination.
Right.
Andy becomes a writer. What's his face goes to Boston to be a chef. The other dude, she don't talk to no more because she thinks he's a bad person. What's her face gets to continue to be first assistant and be good at it. And Miranda continues to be a see you next Tuesday. Like, that's it. These are the, this is the solution of the movie.
Right.
And and use your head to think of everything else. So I don't know what we're doing, but at the same time, there was a Zoolander, and you could give me Zoolanders to the ends of the
terrible.
Earth. I'm gonna watch them.
Oh my gosh!
The second movie was awful. It was so stupid, and I watched it and I enjoyed every moment. Why? Because it's freaking Zoolander.
I couldn't with the first one. I think I zoned out with the when all of his friends died. Spoilers for people. When all his friends died from the gasoline fight, I think I just reverted back to a child and was like, what am I watching? I had yeah. such a hard time. And it's obviously silly, it's dumb, it's supposed to be that, but it was just so dumb that it took me out of the film. I was like, what yeah. the really? Gasoline fighting?
Yes, the gasoline fight.
And mind you, I thought the breakdance fighting was hilarious, but I just could not. I was like, yo, I couldn't. And so when they announced Zoolander 2, I was like, nah, y'all got it. Y'all got that one. I can't. I cannot do it. Mm-mm. Nope. I do understand not being excited, though,
mm-hmm.
because things are like, and granted, like I was saying, this isn't new, but mm-hmm. yeah. things are announced all the time. You know, with Comic-Con is coming up, and we're going to talk about yeah. that a little bit as well, but you know, there's the big reveals of like, oh, you know, this franchise is coming back, or this is coming back. This is, you know, the Deadpool and Wolverine, you know, Hugh Jackman is back as yes. Wolverine. Like, there's all this stuff that's being pulled back and to kind of, you know,
get money,
encourage those, well, that encourage people who used to watch this stuff to come back. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the fence because some of it is good. Like, I saw the two yeah. Bad Boys films, the, you know, the two newest ones, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed them. They weren't yeah. great cinema at all, but funny. And yeah. it was one of those moments, entertaining, and one of those things where, like, we came for a certain thing and we got that. Yes. And I can't, like, even the films that are quote unquote serious and like Oscar worthy and all this BS, like, sometimes you go to see them and they don't give you what you want, like what you came mm-hmm. to see. For instance, I went and saw Long Legs, big horror fan.
Mm-hmm.
It was great until a point, and people know what I'm talking about. If you've seen the film, the third act right there is when it went off a cliff, and I just couldn't after that. But and so that's like a movie that, you know, people are saying like scariest movie of the year. You know, it's getting all these, you know, praised reviews and all this other stuff, mm-hmm. but it didn't give me what I wanted, which was a great movie with a solid ending. Didn't do it. And so, but I'm looking at Bad Boys. I'm like, yo, I'm having a good time. Like, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
Still got it. And
yeah.
with the last two, they're actually acting, which is
yeah.
not necessarily something you wanted, but it was like, it's a extra, like, you know, icing on the cake. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the scene in the previous Bad Boys where Will and Martin are dealing with the fact that he just got shot. And there's actually a really solid scene right there. And mm-hmm. a lot of it's played off of the previous films, and which is really good. And then you have this Bad Boys that came out. And there's a really amazing scene with, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's like just mm-hmm. really cool things that if you've watched those films, you kind of get right off the bat, and mm-hmm. it works. Great stuff. And then I saw Beverly Hills Cop 4? Yeah, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Recently. And that was really good because I think that they didn't do a Coming to America 2. They didn't do that. There's a lot of nostalgia in it, but it's they were concerned with making a good film first
right.
and then add nostalgia as opposed to the opposite, which yeah. is what I think happened with Coming to America 2.
We don't know what happened there. When nothing made yeah. any sense. And honestly, we don't even comment. We don't right. even make comment. You know why? Because we just said...
They had fun. It looked like they had fun. That's
they
that's
had so much fun in that movie. I wanted to be there. I wanted exactly. to be part of the cast.
Yes, like, I would have enjoyed myself much more if
yes, if we were part of the movie versus watching it. That yes. movie made absolutely no sense. But we
oh
all know that Blade was literally there. Wesley Snipes was the bomb.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on. I said this is my favorite Wesley Snipes role.
Yeah, just cause, right? It's him being silly. And it, so like, on that side, I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I like these, and I like the fact that I can have a good time with something. Yeah. It's kind of like seeing an old friend. I can have a good yeah. time with this.
Yeah.
And it just be that. But on the flip side, you also have films that feel like, I don't want to say cash grab because everyone wants to make money. That's just a silly thing to say. But I feel like it's appropriate in some cases. Or at the very least, the people who are making the film didn't do a good job in my, that's what I'll say. I was going to say something else, but I don't think they did a good job. Like we had there's a bunch of horror films that came out that were sequels that just missed the plot. Like just was, I don't know what happened there. Like the Exorcist, the sequel. So like what they do is, especially with horror, they'll make a sequel to a film that came out years ago and pretend like all the other sequels didn't happen. So Halloween 1 through 7, just one happened, and then we got a new sequel. We got a new number 2, right? And so with The Exorcist, I was like, this is – one thing you don't want your horror movie to be called is boring. Like yawn-inducing.
Yeah.
That's like, what why? That was.
Why like, make really, it?
Yeah, and so – and I already had a side eye with that particular director because of what he did with Halloween. So I was like, ooh, yeah, let's stop. Let's we can put a pause here. And actually they did. I don't think there's going to be another, at least not from this team, another Exorcist movie, even though I think it did okay in the box office. It just wasn't received well afterwards. I feel like we don't necessarily need a Beetlejuice. And it's not about need. I don't think we even want another Beetlejuice.
I don't think for I real. Want another Beetlejuice.
I'm interested. The last trailer was decent enough. But at the same time, I'm like, this looks dated already, and I haven't watched it yet. This feels, and not dated in the sense of like the original. This looks like you are trying to do what the original did, and you can't really do that.
I still don't think I know what Beetlejuice is about. And I've seen the movie multiple times. I just don't think that I understand anything. I don't, and because I mean, mind you, I watched it when I was a kid.
Right.
I really don't think I know that there were some toys at McDonald's and there were some black and white stripey suits and some really crazy makeup and something about staring in a mirror and saying Beetlejuice 3 times. Is that Bloody Mary? I don't know.
Bloody Mary.
I don't know what's happening.
Candyman, a couple. But yeah, I mean, it's basically they were looking for help. The spirits that died that were living in the house. And Lydia was also looking for help because she needed to get rid of the spirits. Her family wanted them to leave. And they accidentally summon Beetlejuice, who is mischievous and like whatever. And all hell breaks loose, essentially. Yeah. And so they're calling him again for some reason. I don't know why. And it's one of those things where like, if this came out years ago, I would be down for it. Like, oh, like timely. Cool. Another Beetlejuice.
Yeah. But
how many years has it been? I don't even know. Like, it's been a minute.
It's not a remake, it's a sequel.
No, it's a sequel. Yep.
Yeah, so it's not even like a remake because White Man Can't Jump, which never should have been made.
Oh, God.
Like, that's a remake and it was a bad one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is a sequel. And it's like, oh, okay. I mean, I think people. No. No. I was about to say something that doesn't make any sense. I do that a lot. But this really, sometimes my brain is really slow, guys. Look, brain injuries are not fun.
No, they're not.
But I think I solved, and it is literally making my eye twitch. I think I solved what I was trying to say. I was like, oh, I think you might have an easier time making a sequel versus a remake. And then I was like, no. A remake is another chance to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And then a sequel is like, oh, so how can we make, you know what the dude on Screen Rant says? I know you don't mess with Screen Rant like that, but you know how I love Pitch Meeting.
Yes,
Pitch Meeting
yes.
is hilarious.
It is.
And I love it when he does the movie, you know, producer comes and he goes, hey, you have a money for me? And he goes, don't you mean a movie? That's what I said.
That's what it feels like, though.
That's all it is. That's all it is.
That's what it feels like.
How much more money can we get?
I mean, a remake, and granted, there's how people feel about remakes and whatnot. The idea of like, we need more original stuff. We do.
Yeah.
But the sequels and stuff fill the seats as well. Mm-hmm. And some of them are great. Like, the thing, John Carpenter's The Thing was a remake. Amazing freaking film. Better than the other one. The last body, Evasion of the Body Snatchers was a remake. Better than the original. I think better than the originals. Like Oscar worthy type stuff. They didn't, they're not going to get it because they're horror, but I'm just saying Oscar worthy type stuff. You know, there's, you can have a remake or, you know, or even a sequel and actually be, it'd be good. Yeah. But at the same time, I guess my issue being on the fence or not is how quick they seem to be coming about. Like, hey, we made money off of this really old thing. It worked out. We should do this a couple more times type, you know, getting in people's heads. And then we see that. And then the results are, I don't know. I haven't seen Beetlejuice yet. I'm going to see it. But I feel like it's not going to be good. And so my hope, my expectations are very low, which I might end up liking it because of that. But I don't know. I don't know. That's rough.
Yeah.
It's real rough.
I don't know about continue. Because
in the grand scheme of things, I don't mind sequels as long as they're good.
Yeah.
If I'm enjoying each one, I'm not really going to care. I mean, I watch anime. And that they're basically, they never stop. So like, as long as they're good, then, you know, it's whatever.
I think that we had an issue with the Lion King sequels and that.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Okay. Not even the, I'm talking about, I don't know what that was. What was Simba's pride? I don't know what the movies were. I was like, what is happening with this music? Like that needed to never happen. And I think they should stop.
Lion King should have been a one and done. Even though there are stuff that I liked about the others, like one and a half, and
yeah, I think that was
the
fine.
Pride and whatnot. It was because there was some funny moments, and it was one of those things where like a rental, I couldn't care less, but it's whatever. It's mid, but cool. But even with Disney, like they produce films that are. Like when they make sequels that are actually decent, like I just said, and granted, Pixar is under Disney, but Inside Out, you know, apparently is really good and it made a stupid amount of money. So, and then like The Incredibles, and even if we go off of that, most of the bad stuff is their live action makes of animation, which I don't know why they do that, but
I don't know. Oh, that's a whole nother cast.
Yeah.
We have to have a real conversation.
We
have to have a real conversation, a real one. You look, everybody, like, don't hate me for this. I love Halle Bailey. I've been a supporter. I did not like that movie. This has nothing to do with Halle. Ain't got nothing to do with my man Javier Bardem. That is my fake husband. And don't come for me, Penny. Don't come for me, Penelope. I love you both. But I didn't like that movie. That movie was schizo. That movie made no sense. I said, wait a minute.
It was bad.
Eric is ADD and she's a pack rat. And I don't know what, what are these two people are meant for each other? They don't make no sense. They're really meant for each other, even though they literally are not the same species of person.
Right.
But the movie didn't make no sense. When you're making.
How do you make less sense than the animated? Which was a bit of a mess to begin with.
Because, you know, 16-year-olds are just signing contracts with sea witches. And, and also she wants to murder. Like, this woman is literally out here murdering. Mardar. And she she's not in, like, sea jail. Right. She's just banished to her corner so she can just continue to do her witchcraft.
Yeah, it's a...
What kind of politics system is... Like, you can't tell me that her and Triton weren't in cahoots. Like, this is jail. This is where people go to jail. You have to go serve under the sea. Because literally, she's just allowed to do magic for people and then turn them into little minions because it makes her happy. And you let it happen? Like, what?
He's like, hey, as long as y'all don't cross this line and we good. This is, you know, we're over here, you're over there. And he didn't really care about humans to begin with. So, to be honest.
I mean, he didn't care about his sea people. He clearly only cared about his daughter.
Hey, he was like, I told you I don't go near the trees, near the seaweed over there. I told you. I was like, don't go over there. Crazy. So crazy folks are over there. Don't go.
Disney movies are simple. I mean, you know, the cartoons, they were always they have to be. They're an hour and a half. Or, I mean, they're like literally less than 90 minutes. They have to have a simple story that children can follow along, not get completely bored, not cry at, and feel satisfied at the end. So taking that medium away and then making it live action required, because again, animated stuff is quite magical, and so you can forgive a whole lot of things that don't make sense because of the fact that it's cartoon. Cartoons can pull an anvil that fell on their head out of their head and be alive because they're not human, they're not real. So we don't need explanation. But when you take that medium away, when you make it people, flesh and bone, us, stuff doesn't make sense. And we're just
it like lives in the uncanny valley where not only does it look weird, Lion King, but then it also it makes no sense. None of these animals would get along. Like we would not be here for Simba. Like what? It's like, hey, my son's born. Ain't nobody care. Like, didn't you just eat JoJo the other day? Like, I don't.
Right.
We are beefing. I don't care about your child. Like
legit. Yeet him off of that rock. We're coming for him. Like, I'm going to bow to you? Do you think I just offered up my fawn?
Right. This is not, like, we cool. It's always like, hey, come see my son, and then we'll give you a head start to run away because we're going to kill you. Like, right after.
Coming to this party. I'm not. I'm an elephant. I carried my baby for 2 whole years. You didn't give me this kind of party.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Oh, goodness. Speaking of the trap, Comic-Con is having some issues with San Diego. And I'm not hating it. I'm not. I'm over at IGN. Shout out to Tyler Lyles. They reported on it. It was also reported by the Mercury News, I believe first. I believe they broke the story. But basically, Comic-Con's Chief Communications and Strategy Officer, David Glasner, confirmed Wednesday that the company agreed to a one-year extension with San Diego Tourism Authority to stay in San Diego, but was unwilling to commit to inking a two-year contract. The reason was because it's too expensive to come to Comic-Con, like the hotels and everything. They just...
Yeah.
And this happens all the time, right? Like when there's a big event like the Super Bowl or whatever, you go to that place, they're like, ooh, run it up. All the hotels cost, unless you book it like however many months in advance, the hotel price go up. But apparently San Diego has been on one because they're like, we just can't do it. And mind you, Comic-Con, they make a lot of money every year from people that are showcasing their work, showcasing their art. The big reveals from, you know, studios, like none of that's free.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. So a quote, they're like, in good faith, we decided to sign this contract for one more year with the understanding that we could meet our room block needs for 2026. He told the Mercury News. But for 2025, we are still far below where we would want to be in our hotel rooms. People aren't coming, or at least they are, and they're complaining. Or whatever the case may be, they're seeing like, you know, lower attendance rate because of this. Not because, you know, because people are flying.
Yeah.
Like flying, you know, to come see these. And you think about the cost of, you know, the flights, you have the hotels, you have to eat something. It's multiple days. It's not just one day. And if you want to buy a souvenir or some type of fancy swag or whatever the case may be, all that kind of is under this umbrella of cost when you go to these things.
Yeah.
And the biggest expenditure seems to be on hotel rooms. And they're like, it got to the point where they're calling it hotel apocalypse or hotel gacalypse, however you put those two words together. Essentially, you got to have like 5 roommates and your firstborn to actually get a room.
What?
And that's what it is. And they're saying, another quote, they were saying, we said this a million times, we don't want to leave, but if it gets to the point where it's too expensive for people to stay here, we have to look into that. As much as we wouldn't want to leave, never say never. So essentially, Comic-Con might be leaving San Diego.
Wow.
And if it comes to the East Coast, I'm not mad at it. I don't think it's going to happen, though. It's probably going to stay in California because they already have a New York Comic-Con. And the tourism and stuff, like, it just fits for that coast. I get it.
Yeah.
I don't think they're gonna leave the coast completely. I wish they would, And but they're like, we're leaving San Diego. And that made me think about how, like, the cost of everything has gone up.
Yeah.
And granted, this is like a privilege. This is a thing. So this is not like food or whatever the case may be. But it still makes you think. Like, when a organization like Comic-Con wants to pull out of a place because the hotels are too expensive for its guests.
Right.
It's like, dang, like, prices are really bananas. Like, that's... It was already an expensive thing, especially if you're not from there. If you're, you know, if you could just drive up from your house, by all means. I mean, parking might suck, but at least you know, you don't have to stay in a hotel. But if you're flying from another, you know, the other coast, that's a lot. And so I'm like, how do you, I mean, I guess you could just not go, but how do you just be with, like, you know, like us, this, but like, having range of money here and there going up and down. Like in college, ramen noodles was like a feast or whatever the case may be.
You know,
it's so like, I'm not like, I'm used to not having the funds to do something.
Yes.
But when you get to a certain age, it's like, okay, this is the moment where we can do things. This is the moment where we can do whatever. Like my friends, two of my friends recently just went to Evo for the big fighting game tournaments out there. And it was like, oh, we can finally, you know, we can afford this trip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, I want to go to Comic-Con, but I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, if they're thinking about pulling out because the hotels are too expensive, I don't know. It's just a weird thing to think about. It is a first world problem, but at the same time, I'm just like, why does everything gotta cost so much?
I understand. I don't. I'm right there with you. I'm confused in a general sense. I don't necessarily understand inflation. I don't. I didn't take econ. I never had to. I dropped out before that became a necessity. So I don't know these things. I don't know how it works. But same. I didn't have to. But I'm confused as well. I know that being in this like this being a genre and a hobby, stuff that people are into,
right,
has always cost more. Yeah, I don't know if you ever saw those t-shirts and bags. It was like a line of stuff that was created back in, like, I don't remember when it was created, but I do remember seeing it around like 2004 2003 2004, about anime, and like it would say crack is cheaper.
Yeah.
You remember all that? It was like, so we know that like all this stuff is, it costs. It's not like, you know, 25 cent comic book. Even so, like, comic books may have used to be like really cheap, but still your parents had to find that quarter for you if you could get it. I mean, that was something. But like, I've always known, again, like, okay, anime is expensive because it is. And you have to have money for this. If this is your hobby,
right,
like, it costs. I've never had that kind of money, so I've never cosplayed. Something I've always wanted to do, never done it. People go, oh, you just have to. No, I don't just have to. Okay. I don't know how to sew that well. All right. I can't do this. I'm not. Okay. No. I watched that show. I watched that show that came on. I forgot the channel where those people were going to cons. That show, it was like a reality show or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what I look like in my head. What I would look like going to the con is this, what you see here. I can embarrass myself on our cast. I don't have any problem with that. I'm in my home.
Right.
I'm not going out in public looking cray-cray.
Spending money to look cray-cray is wild.
Come on now. That's wild. So I'm not doing it, okay?
Right.
Because I don't have that kind of funds. And it's just too much. Typically, you know, when these things, when events happen, like, hotels are supposed to have deals, they're supposed to have blocks.
Right.
And because you know that people are coming into the city for this particular thing, you know you're going to be at capacity, so you can afford a discount, because the majority of hotel rooms are empty.
Right.
They are vacant. And they know that they're going to be filled, so they're able to offer them cheaper. This is not cheaper.
No,
nobody can afford this. You can't afford the flight. You can't afford to Google on your computer the flight, because for some reason Google will harass you and be like, aren't you looking for the price of this flight for the remainder of your existence?
Right.
You have to die so that Google stops reminding you about this flight. So you have to unalive yourself. You have to leave the planet. You have to leave this realm. Okay?
Oh God.
And come back. Stuff costs too much. The flight's too much. The hotel's too much. The food is too much. There's not enough room on anybody's credit cards. Okay. If
yes.
You even have them. Okay. Because that's a privilege to even get one, because, you know, it's not
facts.
That easy.
It's, and like, cause you, and I know it's like, there's people like, you know, you save up for it or you do whatever, mm-hmm. but you have to understand, if it's getting to the point where the organization itself is like, we're going to move, like they've been there for years, like years, for them to be like, they're going to move. It's not just the broke people. You feel me?
Yeah,
it's not just people. It's like, no, this is kind of, and then with everything else going up as well, like the price of, you know, like for instance, groceries, the cost of groceries are going up. So like when that happens, you have less money for fun things. You have less money because you like, you're just trying to survive at that point.
Yeah.
And so, but at the same time, it's like, it's, and then this has made me like reflect on so many things, like even like this software that we're using right now. I'm mm-hmm. like, everything costs so much money.
Right.
And we just haphazardly, or we don't like, we don't think about it because it's like, oh, obviously it costs, like it's a service you have to pay or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. But when you put that side by side with like all the stuff that you spend, all the money that you spend, all the things that you buy, and you look at what like the cost used to be, like you were talking about how anime used to be expensive because you used to have, you know, like we didn't have Blu-ray at the time. There was DVD and or tape. And
well, we were on VHS.
Yeah, we were on VHS. I remember getting Dragon Ball Z tapes. And because you could only get so many episodes or they didn't fill the whole freaking tape because they were jerks, you had to buy a lot of tapes.
Yes.
And those tapes were not cheap, especially considering that a lot of them was being imported. So it wasn't like they had American versions a lot of the times.
Yeah.
It was like, no, you had to get the Japanese version. It was imported.
Yeah.
You go to FYE or whatever the case and you get it. Then we went to DVDs and there's like 1,000 of them for like one season because they couldn't fit all of it onto, you know, whatever.
Not fit on the disc.
And it was $1 million. And that's why a lot of, you know, people used to like bootleg a lot of it.
Pirate it.
Yes,
pirate it. It was $30 per disc for like my favorite anime, 12 Kingdoms. It has, is it 8? I can't remember how many discs now. I forgot because it's traumatizing.
Right.
It's either 7, 8, or 9. And it was $30 per disc.
Yeah, it was bananas.
I didn't have that kind of money.
Yeah. So like, so that's what I'm trying to get at is the fact that it's like when we were younger,
mm-hmm.
this was an issue, right?
Yeah.
We get older and granted now we have, you know, Crunchyroll and we have other places where we could just watch it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Blu-ray, so you can fit more onto one disc so it doesn't cost as much. Great.
Mm-hmm.
But then like, you're like, okay, at some point we should like turn the corner and things should just, we should just, either we just have the money because we've lived long enough to have the money.
Yeah. To save.
It shouldn't be right, or either it shouldn't be, it just shouldn't cost as freaking much. And then when you get to that age, it's like, oh, stuff actually is way more expensive than I thought it was because I wasn't paying for A, B, and C when I was trying to get that anime. Now I am paying for A, B, and C, and I'm trying to get that anime, and it's
like,
still too much.
I got a roof to pay for, you know? And then you're like, wait a minute. Hold on. Children.
Right?
Okay. Wait a minute. Rent. Wait. What? Food for the children.
Yes.
Okay. Because, no, I don't eat. But he does.
Yes.
And I got to pay for my dry cleaning.
Shoo. You a good one. Look.
I got to go to work. I got to pay for the dry cleaning. I got to. How am I? I can't. I'm 42. And I still haven't gone to a con.
It's we're getting you to a con, by the way. But it's just like it's just like, dang, that's kind of depressing. And not to be depressing on here, but it's like, does everything have to cost so much? There's no way to like, and granted, we're looking at it from the consumer aspect. You think about like, I'm pretty sure like the product itself to sell has gone up as well. So just being able to throw the event, to rent the space, to have all the people come and, you know, test everything, make sure it's safe, security, excuse me, all that stuff, that the price of that probably went up. as well.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, price of a ticket might have gone up as well because we have to offset this stuff. It's like, dang, it's everything is climbing, and it doesn't feel like, I don't know. It's just weird space that I'm in where I just like, I don't want to buy, like I have money to buy things and I don't want to buy it because it costs freaking much. And there's no right way to like articulate why it costs that freaking much.
Yeah.
Cause it didn't used to.
Yeah.
From what I can imagine, it just didn't used to.
I have no idea. I'm asking the same questions. I don't know. I don't understand. I'm like, well, there's also, I keep seeing it. Like, I don't know if I'm like scrolling through YouTube and I keep like seeing stuff like this or like TikTok or whatever. Mm. And it's just like, hey, you know, things are getting more expensive, but the quality is going down.
Yeah.
And it's kind of feels like this in every industry. I mean, we talk about this when it comes to like luxury goods. Again, that's first world problem, but there, people work hard for their money. Some people don't.
Exactly.
Most people don't. Well, yeah, but most people do, but a lot of people don't. And so, you know, but they're talking about buying something that, okay, a $3,000 handbag, which the whole purpose of paying $3,000 for this handbag is because you know that it's well made.
Right.
You know, they always tell you, they're like, this is where the leather comes from. This is how it's treated. This is how it's sewn.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about this tearing and breaking. Oh, and by the way, if it messes up, not only does it have warranty, but because it shouldn't, but you can also take it back to the manufacturer.
The place where you got it. Yeah.
Got it. And then they will repair it for you. Like this, it doesn't even need to be replaced because it can be fixed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't have that anymore. You're paying that same amount for the luxury good. And again, it doesn't even have to be a luxury good. You're paying the same amount for either a luxury good or a trash good. And you're not getting that service. You're not getting the same quality of item. And the question is just why? Because this is clearly, I feel like this is a worldwide systemic issue. And honestly, the progenitor, it was Instagram. Like, it was social media that did it. It's like everybody got lazy because they saw that people were making money doing nothing, and it's like, wait, I can make money doing nothing too,
man.
That's funny because that's silly, but maybe
it's a weird, it's, you know, and it's also an aspect of like the economy in the sense of capitalism. And how people want to make more for less. Like, I want to be more rich and not pay you less.
Yeah.
And way to cut corners outside of just laying people off, which seems to be the thing for the last 5 years, is to also cut corners. Like, it's, you know, or make everything a subscription. I'm so tired of subscriptions. And I know we just got finished talking about... you know, legacy stuff and whatnot, and how, but you would think, like, for instance, I use Photoshop like forever, like since college.
Yeah.
And I used to have to, you know, you had to buy the software outright. And if you wanted to get the next one, you had to buy the next one.
Yeah.
And it was mad expensive.
Yeah.
And so they switched it over to the model of subscription. And at first I was like, oh, cool, because you get access to it at a cheaper price. But then over time, you pay a lot more, because if you think about it, if you have Photoshop and you only want to do one thing and it does that one thing really well, you pay that however much money and it does that one thing for you
forever.
All these like updates that I don't use, that I'm never going to use, but I'm still paying for, is like, I spent way more money. And then, you know, with this, they're doing like this weird stuff with AI, and like, I was just thinking about like, man, I want to potentially use another software, but I was like, I don't even know where to go because I've been using this for so much, and I don't know if I have to pay. Like, I don't want to get into another subscription. Like, there's all this weird, and it's all money. It's all money based.
Money based.
And it's frustrating. It's frustrating. You know,
extremely frustrating, because if somebody makes a quality product that you can use forever, you're not going to spend money on it, on another one. Like,
it makes sense.
They know that they need the continual income. So it's like, why would I give you a quality item? Why would I give you a heart that ticks forever when I can just give you a half bad one?
You could give us a better one. I mean, that's what Apple tries to do, right? Like, they try to, like, it never works, but they try to give you, or they sell a better phone. They say they do, you know, a better phone each year. And, you know, that's why you're willing to pay. You get the better product. You get the better item. So even though this item will be great for however long, this is better. And you want better. You want the new shiny thing. That I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's
yeah, I don't, I'm tired of subscriptions. That being said, Microsoft. Our next topic is Apple. Apple apparently is tired of subscriptions too, but on the opposite side, Apple announced or was, and this is actually, I'm looking on Bloomberg website. Shout out to Lucas Shaw. They wrote about Apple trying to rein in their spending because they spent more than $20 billion to produce original TV shows and movies that people are not watching. And they're like, you know what? We should pull back on that. We should kind of, you know, put the money in other places. You know, let's diversify. Let's not spend all this money on these shows and stuff that people aren't watching. And it's unfortunate because they make a lot of quality shows and, mm-hmm. you know, films. One of them was Killers of the Flower Moon. That was big, you know, popular in terms of awards and whatnot. Apparently made a ton of money in the theater, and it's on Prime, and I'm not Prime. Apple's was iTunes. I forget what their video. I think it is Apple TV. Apple TV Plus. So it's on there. You know what I mean? And like they have, but at the same time, even though that was big, Netflix's House of Ninjas, more eyes was on it, and I think one of the big issues with Apple,
you know what that is,
they don't promote any of this stuff.
Yeah, nobody knows what's on Apple.
I at all. And like, not just because they don't advertise, even the app. It's a weird, like I downloaded it because I like Severance, and I actually found out about Severance late because they don't advertise. But I pulled up the app and I'm like, "Oh, it's you're not really showing me anything." Like there's like the apps usually have the a la carte random, here's a 70s show you used to watch, here's a whatever you used to watch, here's a movie you never heard of. Like they have that stuff plastered. And then they'll have like two big shows up front. And it's like, all right, what else you got? And they have a ton of stuff, like a ton of really good stuff, but you never hear about it. And that's weird, especially for my job, considering I'm a critic. I write about a bunch of this stuff. I never hear about Apple stuff. Like Severance, I got on to late, and I only know about Severance the second season because I was waiting for it. I was specifically like, when are we getting Severance 2? Like, anyone. But they don't advertise. And so it's like, well, yeah, no one's going to see. Whereas Netflix, on the other hand, you're going to hear about it. I'm sorry. Even if you don't want to watch whatever it is, you're going to hear about whatever Netflix has. Either it's on Twitter, it's on YouTube. It's them talking about it. They have a blog where they talk about their films. They have a whole event that they do every year, the Ta-Dum or whatever, the sound that it makes when you pull up or whatever. Like they do a lot to get people to know that there's, and it's working for Netflix. Netflix was actually down, I want to say 2023. Some of this was, you know, I have to put a little asterisk. There was the whole strike and whatnot, but Netflix was losing money. Remember they were talking about, stopping you from sharing passwords and you know all this weirdness that they were doing where you couldn't, if you were traveling somewhere, you had to like log into your home
annoying.
Beforehand and it was wild, right? And apparently that's been working because in 2024 they're at the top once again. They're the only streaming service that was had made any leeway in terms of money, like making money with their streaming service. And they don't
still let me steal.
Right. They don't necessarily have the best stuff. I mean, they do have a lot of good stuff. I won't say that.
I mean, but not Rebel Moon, Child of Corn Fire.
Okay, yeah, that's terrible.
What is that?
And Netflix is, spending a lot of money on everything, whether it's good or not, because someone's going to watch it. That's Netflix's whole thing.
Yeah, we watched it just to review bomb it. Like, not even, review bomb is a different term, but it's a terrible movie.
Yeah, and I feel, I'm not going to talk about it because that's a whole nother cast, but I feel this whole director's cut stuff that he does all the freaking time.
Yes.
Stop it. But yeah, it's interesting to me that Apple is I get it. Everyone is trying to lower
cost, how,
you know, like the cost of their streaming service, whether it's hilariously Discovery and Warner Brothers.
Oh my God. I can't
thinking
even.
About splitting their. I'm like, you could have just said separate. You could have just said separate.
I heard and I wanted to throw things.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so glad I have an emotional sport animal because she keeps me calm even in moments like this where I should be like, ah!
I was like, wow. You just said that out of your face. Like, that was like.
Literally.
How, Sway? You could have did that, and you canceled so many things to get like tax write offs and all this other stuff. You canceled all your for the most part, all of your minority led stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know what? Maybe we should just separate like our legacy stuff from, you know, like the reality TV stuff and basically this Discovery stuff. And it's like, huh? And I know it's deeper than that. I know it's deeper than that for anybody who's fact checking. However. It still sounds dumb. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we had streamers thinking about potentially joining one another. I think it was Paramount Plus and another one.
Yeah.
Just to offset the cost and whatnot. And it's like, dog, like, they got to figure it out. And I don't necessarily think subscription models are working the way they think they should work. I don't know how much it costs. Like, the ratio to the money that you spend. Because it's always in the red. I mean, right?
Yeah,
in the red. Because you have to buy the product, you have to sit it somewhere, and then you have to have people subscribe long enough to make that money back. But in order to do that, you can't just have that one show or that one film. You have to buy another and another and another.
Yeah.
And, you know, until you get a mass amount of people that have subscribed long enough to make money a la Netflix. And that's an uphill battle. Even for giants like Disney, that's an uphill battle. And it doesn't help that they keep taking off stuff. Like, just removing stuff from their streamer that is original content. Like, Willow is gone. Yeah. I didn't even get to watch the show.
I didn't get to watch it either. It's gone. I saw like 8 seconds of it. I'm not joking. I literally turned it on. I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch this. And I was like, I'm not going to watch this. Not because I didn't want to. It's just, you know, when you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. But you can't. I couldn't just put it on in the background. I actually needed to pay attention. And I was like, yeah I'm not doing this. And then I went over to Tokyo Vice, which I love. And, then, you know, because I went to HBO. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch this. And I was like, oh, no, I got to know what's happening. I got to put this on pause.
And it's gone.
It's gone.
And I get the idea of, like, you know, they want to hit those numbers early on. But you have to let shows breathe because, especially Netflix. You guys release weekly. Like,
come on now.
Seriously. Especially for someone who's into a lot of stuff. I like anime. I like horror. I like action films. I like. So you released.
Yeah.
Freaking 2 anime, 1 horror movie, the freaking Beverly Hills Cop, and a bunch of K drama all in the same freaking week.
Ain't got time.
If you like all of that, you're stuck. You can't watch it all. You know what I mean? And so. You have to let these things grow. And like the fact that you can't even let it sit there as like another thing that we could potentially watch. Just like, hey, I know you watched all this other crap. You didn't see Willow yet. Go ahead and check that out. No, you took it off.
It's
no
gone.
Wonder you guys are losing money. Like, you just make really bad decisions. Like,
I just don't understand why they think that we can afford it all. Cause like, I get that they need to make their money back. Like, we're not going to negate that. They cost them a lot of money to do this business venture.
Right, right.
It costs them a lot of money. We understand that, so they need to make it back. But we're not all made of money. The majority of the people who are paying for these things are not rich people. The rich people are not the majority of our society. They are regular ass people who don't make that much money and who watch things to make their miserable lives that we mentioned in minute one of our cast better. That life is hard. Life sometimes has no joy. And you sometimes can only get it from entertainment.
Right.
It is too expensive to even entertain yourself. Nobody can afford to pay $50 a month for their internet service, okay? Because, you know, internet's not free anymore. No matter how poor you are, the ACP is not the thing anymore up here,
right.
At least up here. It's not free. You're paying $50 a month for your internet minimum. some people are saying they're paying 25. I don't know where, but I feel like you're getting bit back somewhere else in fees. I don't know, in your modem rentals, but you're at least paying 50 between your, some people are paying even more than that. Okay. You're paying $50 and $80 a month for your internet. You got your cell phone bill because people don't have landlines anymore, allegedly. I mean, and then some people have, I mean, I don't have cable because poor, but some people do have it. Okay. And so to pay for your cable service and then pay for streamers is crazy. That's literally crazy. It's actually crazy.
And it's not even like, because the idea isn't to piggyback off what you're saying. The idea isn't necessarily to give people free stuff. The idea is that it's a competition.
Yeah.
You are competing with everything that's entertainment base, and then everything that is sustaining life, like you said, paying for internet and all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. And while some people who, you know, depending on where you're, you know, where you fall, tax bracket or whatever, you might feel like, oh, $9.99 a month, whatever,
I can do that. Yeah, sure.
But then you think about like, okay, they're raising the price because not enough people are subscribing for $9.99, mm-hmm. but then that's not going to get more people to subscribe. You know what I mean? So like the price goes up. Oh, you have this bundle, Disney Plus and Hulu. Well, it costs this amount. Well, I guess I'll watch these shows and whatever. Okay, cool. It's worth. It's like, oh, we're going to raise it up next year. Like, oh, crap. And then eventually you're like, you're, and granted, I've never been the person who's like, if you have all these things, it's just like cable. First of all, no one's asking you to buy them all. However, if you have like two, you could be potentially seeing your price go up to a point where you can't afford it anymore.
Right.
Especially if you have any type of family plan, any type of whatever, where you're like, I need to, you know, I have kids who are in college, maybe who want to see it. Like, all this is privileged stuff. I get it. But if you think about it, if you are removing shows from your streamer, if you're raising the price yearly, if the quality is negligible in terms of, you know, like you're giving me good stuff or not, or am I just watching like the stuff that I've been watching for however many years prior to you even having a streaming service? Yeah. And then you have the fact that there's not enough time, like just within the day to watch whatever. And the idea like, oh, I'm going to start this show and they're going to cancel the second season because not enough people are watching it because there's not enough time to watch all this mess. So you add all that stuff up and then you go, I just spent like $5 million on this film. That's a small number. Let's say I spent, you know, I was bidding for this film and not a lot of people are watching it. It's like, well, yeah, you are constantly doing things that are pushing people away. They're very small at the beginning. They're very small. Mm-hmm. A price raise here, remove something that they love watching here because the license ran out. That happened with me and Scrubs on Netflix.
Right.
The service isn't great. None of the streamers actually matches Netflix's UI. The content, whatever, that's debatable. So all these different factors. And then your favorite show, the show you want to watch, which you would actually resubscribe for, is on hold, is whatever, is canceled. Mm-hmm. It's like, why do I even subscribe?
Yeah.
And granted, I like the idea of being able to watch something when I want to watch it. But if you take that aspect away, now you're adding commercials. Now you're adding, like, you're just doing a lot that makes it feel like cable. And
I feel like I would just rather get cable, especially if you can DVR it.
Right. Like it's comparable in the sense of like, this isn't better. It's supposed to be better. It's not supposed to be worse. I'm not supposed to be missing stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if a show gets, for instance, if I love Bob's Burgers, if Bob's Burgers gets canceled 1 year or whatever, they have several seasons. They're already in syndication. I can watch them on another channel.
Yeah.
Simpsons does that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's possible that you can still see these things. They're not just gone. I mean, some shows have been, but they're not just gone and you can never see them. Or at the very least, The Simpsons, I can get like a physical box set of whatever. But the show Willow from Disney, you can't, there's no physical version.
Yeah.
It's just gone. That was something that we were talking about with Jorge about his shows.
Yeah.
Like, aren't you afraid that when something happens to Netflix, all of your stuff is gone? Granted, he's backed everything up.
Right,
everyone should do that.
Right.
Everyone should do that. But like, so yeah, as a consumer, it's like, dog, do I really want to keep subscribing? Again, that's the whole mindset. I'm subscribing over and over and over and over. I'm not getting what I want. You're removing things. You're raising the price. So then I'm looking at Apple, and then Apple was on the latter end because they came late. The UI isn't great. They don't advertise their stuff well, at least for me.
Yeah. And I'm not an Apple. I don't have Apple products. I don't own anything. So I the only time I ever know is randomly because I'm into something.
Yes.
And I'm like watching YouTube or something, and they're like, "Oh, by the way, this show is coming to Apple." And I'm like, then I'm never going to watch it because honestly, that's severance for me.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to watch it. I don't have access to no Apple stuff. Well, how? Well, I found out that Tom Hiddleston did a voiceover for one of the nature shows, and I was like, oh my God, I want to see that so bad. And then my friend's like, oh my God, you have to get it. And I'm like, no.
Like, yeah, and like,
you want me to pay for something? You want me? No,
yes.
I'm not saying this because I'm a cheapo and I'm poor or whatever. I mean, I am poor, but what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that. Oh, I wouldn't. I'm not against paying for something that you want access to. You have to pay for things. It's your entertainment. If you want to be entertained, like, you know, you find out what's valuable to you, and you spend the associated cost. What I'm saying is, I'm like, I don't even know how to get Apple TV. At one point, I thought it was a thing. Like, I thought it was a thing you had to buy.
Right. I mean, there are Apple products, and you can, like, for instance, I pulled it up on my laptop because, like, you can do, like, iTunes and stuff like that for your PC. Mm-hmm. And then I just plugged it into my TV and did it that way until recently, the newer TV that I have, I can actually download the app. Even though it's not an Apple TV, I can actually download the app and watch. But even that's a hassle. It's not as simple.
User-friendly.
It's not as user-friendly as you would think. Like, for me, it wasn't. Same thing with Microsoft. Microsoft doesn't have an app. I bought, like, a Bob's Burgers. They had a deal. I bought the seasons on, like, a Microsoft account. You have to watch it via either your Xbox or your PC. There's no phone app anymore because Microsoft doesn't have an
OS. They don't have a phone thing anymore.
Yeah, so I can't put it on my phone unless it's with that.
Can you watch the Xbox app on your phone? Can you use the Xbox app?
You can use it. Not on your phone. Not on your phone. You can't.
So what's the point?
You can't watch any media. You have to have the actual Xbox systems, one of those, or you have to watch it on PC. There is no, or actually, no, I don't even think you could do it with Roku. I don't think you can watch their stuff that way. Like,
that's stupid.
And that's another reason, like, user-friendly, and just, there's just so many barriers. And I know people are listening, they're like, I just blah, 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 blah. Like, it's always that one person who does the most.
Jerry-rig everything.
Right? Like, that person is like, well, you know, I hooked up my own cable, so this is nothing. I'm fine.
Hey, congratulations for you for drilling the holes and cutting down that tree that was blocking your service. Like,
exactly.
I'm not that.
Right? I'm not doing all that. That's cool, dog. I have Netflix here, and it works. And I have the app on every freaking thing, okay? Like, it just works. Sorry. If we're competing, and you just raised your price...
Yeah.
And this is much easier to access. Why would I go over there for one show that may or may not stay around?
Yeah.
Why? And you know what I mean? So I'm not surprised that Apple is in the position they are.
Yeah.
I do wish them the best because this
good stuff.
This also rose this, you know, it kind of Apple is going to be fine. Apple sells enough products.
Fine.
But the people who are And actually, Netflix said this too. The people who are making these shows, the whole purpose of the strike was for them to get paid well.
Yes.
And if they're like, we're going to be cutting back, then that means people aren't going to get paid.
Yeah, that's not.
They're not going to green light any shows or, you know, films and stuff like that. They're not going to bid on things. And Netflix was talking about how the cost of certain things, like this producer might not get this amount of money because we want to get this return and stuff like that. It's like, dang, like you're cutting into the profits of the creative people who are making the stuff that's making people come to your service. It seems like you're shooting yourself in the foot, but that's what's happening. And so
I agree.
That's the part that I don't like. Apple as an entity will be fine, but the people who are actually creative and making the stuff.
Yeah.
Not so
what's
much.
What's the solution? I mean, it's not for us to know, but I don't know.
Well, one thing, and I've seen this happen recently, and I don't know if this is a mitigated, if this is something that they're trying to do to mitigate the cost. Discovery, HBO, a lot of the Warner Brothers stuff was hitting Netflix, which means Netflix paid them for that, but I'm pretty sure Discovery came to them and was like, hey, we'll give you this if you cut us a deal. And Netflix was probably was like, we'll pay. We're not going to pay a lot, but we'll pay. And so there's syndication, because typically a show made for a streamer doesn't have syndication at all. Mm-hmm. So there's no extra revenue outside of if you get like the ad tier so they can get ad rev. But other than that, there's no syndication. You can't sell it to Fox can't sell it to TBS to get more money. And so in this case, if Warner Brothers Discovery or Discovery Warner, I don't know how that works. If they offshoot some of their stuff to Netflix and Netflix pays them, that is a secondary stream of income that they can have for the content that they already have on their streamer. I think that's wise. That might not, that might hurt them though, because if I can get, if I could just subscribe to Netflix and not subscribe to Warner Brothers as well and still see Warner Brothers stuff, why would I do that? And I noticed that was happening with, like for instance, their DC films. A lot of the DC films that the latter part that were only on HBO are now on Netflix. You know what I'm saying? And more of that stuff is coming over. So I'm like, oh, what's happening here? And then I hear about the idea of people teaming up, not people, but streamers teaming up to have content hosted on both sites. And I'm like, oh, that could work. It could definitely, but I don't know how much money Netflix is going to be willing to pay you if they're worried about paying people, the people that are under
paying
them.
Paying the creators. Like, what are we
You know
doing?
What I'm saying? Like, I don't know how much money you can. And so like, are you going to give your content to every streamer? Because then that dilutes or makes your streamer seem less, you know, not necessary. Like, I know it's after a certain point of time, like Dune 2 is on HBO. It's probably not going to hit Netflix for like another year. But if I could, people don't have no problem waiting. If they can wait for it to come from theater to streamer, they can wait for it to go to Netflix. Like, it's not a problem. And so, I don't know if that's a solution, but it's something that they're doing. I don't know.
That's true. Like, I definitely did that. Like, I waited for movies to go to a certain place and I did that with the Marvel movies there was the whole issue with Marvel movies. Like where are they? Because, you know, it had Spider-Man in it. Okay. It's not here.
Right.
Right. Hey, did you see this? No, I'm. They're not here.
Yes.
It had that one character in it for 42 seconds.
Right.
Yeah, it's not there. So I remember struggling, trying, because, you know, and that was the beginning of my fatigue.
Right. And that's brought us full circle. Full circle. Yes. Shout out to everybody for hanging out with us. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. We are happy to be back and talking with you. Well, indirectly talking with you and all that good stuff. We have some ideas for some new segments for our show that we're going to be revealing a bit in a bit. So stay tuned for that. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to hit that notification bell. Well, subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content. We will be doing this more often. Yes. Because we had some new people subscribe and they're like, hey, where's the stuff? It's coming. It's all right. It's coming. It's all right. It's cool. If you listen on Spotify or iTunes or whatever, you can also subscribe there as to your RSS feeds. And so you can be up on when we drop, you know, episodes and whatnot. I'm looking forward to having more guests on the show. I have a list and we'll see how that works. But you definitely stay tuned for that. We also want to do some cool deep dives into old anime. Some stuff that we haven't, you know, talked about extensively, but we want to talk about, you know, like Gundam. And not just like how much we like the show or dislike the show in some cases, but, you know, maybe something about the creators, where they came from, where they are now in their career and stuff like that. So interesting tidbits that we're going to try to put into each show. So definitely stick around for that. I think that's it for housekeeping at the moment.
I pretty much don't have anything. We're just happy to be back.
Yes.
So be kind, rewind. you know, be nice, everybody. Wash your hands, wash your faces and your butt.
Yes.
Don't be a dick. That's what
Facts.
We always say. Wear your masks if you need to, get vaccinated, do good things, vote, all that stuff.
Yes.
Please, please, Lord, please. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for sticking around with us. Bye.